Good evening. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, and we are studying the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter and step is more on alcoholism, and our speaker tonight is Julie. Thank you, Julie. Take it from here.
Hi, ladies and gents. My name is Julie A.G., and I am, by the grace of God and His love, one day at a time, all recovered. So, just so you know, my first time speaking, I'm really nervous. So, I'm going to just say a really teeny quick prayer to invite God in so that I may bless at least one person. God, please be with me as you always are, but especially for the next 20 minutes. Please use me to help at least one person during this time. Thank you. Amen. So let me begin by qualifying. Actually, I started very young. I was chubby as a young kid. Back then, that's what they called it, was chubby. And, I couldn't shop at any of the stores like my sister could, so I was always jealous and envious, because she could get clothes off the rack and I could not. And there was this one store, there was only a couple of places in the city that I lived that actually sold clothes that would fit me, and they called it the chubby department. We went to Bessie Ross, and really all it was old lady clothes cut down to size. And it was so embarrassing and so humiliating, just wearing, picking out these ugly clothes. And, my sister would laugh at me, and it was horrible. I didn't have a clue then. I just liked to eat like the rest of the people. I didn't realize that I had a for real problem. And, later on, I actually grew a couple of inches. So my weight fell into shape, and I was actually a normal weight, had a normal figure, and I was like, whoa, thank God, but I was all good till I got pregnant. Well, that was my excuse. I could go right back to eating everything and anything. I gained 90 pounds my first pregnancy. I was horrified and humiliated just walking past the mirror in my house. Don't let me walk past after getting out of the shower. That was really bad. And I didn't really, still at that point, know that I was a compulsive overeater. I had never heard of that. And as I kept going, and I had another child, and I ended up with three kids, and man, I just couldn't stop eating. And it was the compulsive part that really got to me. And I'm thinking, like, what's wrong with me? I had no idea why I just could not stop eating. And it was really whacking my brain power out, because I'm just like, why can't I be like everybody else? They just stop at, having a little bit, a bowl or one ice cream cone. I always wanted two. I was ready for the next one. And whew, it got to the point where I was like, okay, I cannot control this. And let me tell you, by this time, I had tried every diet in the book. The whole Weight Watchers, Formu-3, low carbs, high protein, nothing at all, and then just overeating everything. I just couldn't pull it together. I could hold on for just a little bit of time, and then all of a sudden, I'm on a roll, but then just walk past a certain particular food or saw a commercial. And commercials really did me in because they were always about food. Even today, I'm glad I kind of don't watch too much TV, so I don't have that problem. And of course, my neck of the woods, which is Boston, has some great food up here, And so it was pretty crazy. As soon as I saw the commercial, I wanted something to eat. And I couldn't watch TV without eating anyways. You know, I had to snack or eat a whole meal or just, I mean, if I pop popcorn and the popcorn ran out before the movie was over, I had to pause and go get another one. Or if it was a commercial, hurry up and make some more popcorn. So, yeah, it got pretty crazy. And so I can remember the whole shopping thing, like I said, was really, really hard. But I will say the thing that blessed me, and I kind of figured this was kind of weird, and my mom couldn't figure it out either. At the age of 10, well, I started sewing. A friend of mine, she was sewing, making something. She was 10 years older than me, and by this point, you know, we were friends because her mom and my mom were friends. Well, so I was like, wow, this is a cool way to stay in my room and hide. So I learned how to sew. So anytime somebody came looking for me, I was upstairs in my room all by myself, just sewing. Once I really learned how to sew good, I could make my own clothes. So I didn't have to shop in those little fat, ugly department stores. And so I made everything pretty much I owned except for my undergarments. And you know, I could have done that, but you know, what was the point of that? So it was like, wow, I can do this, you know, and I can make something and create something that looked good on me, even though I wasn't cute anymore, you know, like lost the figure. I used to always say, yeah, I still got an hourglass, you know, figure. I just have more hours now. So, you know, that was a problem. Or people would say, oh, yeah, you know, got a six pack. Well, I just had a whole case. You know, no matter which way you looked at it, I always had more. So, you know, but I finally figured out that, and what I used to think before I figured it out was that being overweight was nothing that God could help me with because I always felt like this was too little of an issue for him to bother with me. And I really didn't grow up in a God-fearing house, so to speak, you know, went to church or whatever. Well, until about, I think, the third grade or so, because I went to St. Mary's, a Catholic church. And back then, Catholic churches really only had white people in them. No offense, white ladies and gents, but I just couldn't understand it because my mom was white, my dad was black, so that created its own issue growing up in Boston in the 60s. So, you know, I said to my mom one day, said, I don't know what God is, Mom, but I know this isn't it because people would talk about us. And then, of course, it was a double whammy for me because they'd talk about how chubby I was. You know, I made my first communion and I had this god-awful ugly dress because it was the only one that would fit me. And you know, after that, I was done. And then, as I grew up, and you know, my kids were older, blah blah blah, and I was talking to a friend, and they said, well, you know, you should try OA. And I'm like, well, what's OA? I'd never even heard of OA. So I was like, well, I'm game, can't get any worse than where I'm already at. And at this point, I still believe that, you know, my little issues was too little for God. You know, why would he bother about how much weight I had on me? And the bad part of it is, as I got to be like in my, well, it probably started when I was in elementary because I remember not being able to take gym because I couldn't jump up and down. It would give me a migraine. So, you know, my whole physical being was being affected by the overweight as well. And my joints were really bad. I mean, I've already had both my knees, both my hips replaced, and a bunch of other drama going on. So, you know, I went to this OA meeting, and, you know, it was my first time there. And I was like, wow, these people sound like me. And, you know, the whole thing from just eating everything in sight or, you know, digging my grandson's pizza crust out of the trash, you know, because I just love the whole bread thing. And It was like, okay, I gotta go to the store. I was always buying junk food. If I got gas, I had to get junk food. I was always eating in the car so nobody would see me, or I'd take the food in my room so nobody could tell, or I'd buy, something that wasn't perishable, and I'd buy two of them, so I'd put one in the kitchen where it belonged, and the other one, went in my stash. And it got pretty bad. But so I'm sitting around this big table with a lot of folks. Of course, back then it was face to face. This was way before COVID, and people were sharing their 3-minute shares. I was just
5 minutes
like,
left.
oh my God, is that 5 minutes that
Julie, did
quick?
you get that? 5 minutes
Yes.
left.
Okay. Dang. Well,
No, it's
anyways,
like you.
so.
Hold on, hold on. It's a 20-minute share.
My
Okay,
bad. I
so
thought
that's
you said,
10 minutes.
my bad. 10 minutes left.
Okay,
10 minutes.
thank you.
Great.
So, it was really kind of funky for me to hear other people, say all these things. Some things I never even thought of, and I was like, wow, that's worse than me, And then if I saw people in there that were like really, really heavy, and I'm like, oh, thank God, or then I saw people who were so slim, and I'm thinking, well, what are you doing here to myself? And they had been coming to meetings for like 35 years, and they've been, recovered for like after the first year or so. And I'm like, what's she still doing here? But that's how you stay recovered. That's why we say it one day at a time. It don't matter how many years go by, it's still one day at a time. So, anyways, my thing about this whole more about alcoholism, one of my first thoughts were actually on the first page, which is page 30, was that most of us have been unwilling to admit we were all compulsive overeaters. No person really likes to think he is bodily or mentally different from his fellows. So, that was me. I tried to fit in like everybody else, and I sure as heck didn't want to admit I was a compulsive overeater, or God forbid there was something wrong with me, because, when we're younger, we're kind of all that in a bag of chips, So I would say the rest of that line, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. But so, when I figured out that, yeah, I had something wrong with me. And it's so weird. So these first meetings of OA, I lived in a different state at that point, and I was in it for 3 years, and I had three different sponsors during this time, and all three of my sponsors were pretty lackadaisical. So needless to say, I was lackadaisical too. So I really didn't go too far. I think the furthest step I ever got was step three. And I didn't know anything about 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way to 12. So, I was like, I can do this, but I wasn't losing any weight. So I'm like, well, this program isn't working. But anyways, I still stayed in it, kept going back. And then I moved back home here, and I still knew I had a problem, but at this point I still felt like, because they didn't share a lot about God, except for the normal God conversations that people would have, God is good, blah, 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 what church you go to, blah, blah, blah. But nobody ever shared that, this is a God thing, and then it was a spiritual thing that helped us get through the program. I didn't know anything about that until I got back home. It'll be 3 years in June, and I lost 40 pounds when I got home. And, last July 18th, when I finally got talked into going back to OA, and it turned out the meeting my friend sent me to was the Big Book study. And oh my God, was I in for a rude awakening, because wow, this is a lot of work. And I found out all kind of new things I never even heard of before. So I was very thankful at that. And even the same thing. On page 31, it says, we have tried every imaginable remedy. In some instances, there have been brief recoveries, which I did have, followed by always a still worse relapse. Physicians who are familiar with compulsive overeaters agree that there is no such thing as making a normal eater out of a compulsive overeater. And I was like, really? You mean I'll never be healed? It's like, okay, so I knew my hip got healed because I got a titanium hip. But so it wasn't quite computing that I could be healed, even though, yes, I am recovered and I have shed about 98% of my weight that I wanted to. Like, I got 3 pounds left to go. And so I'm very thankful that I was able to even, learn and be in OA and have an OA family and have fellowship. And, even though I knew God and I have been very active in wherever church I have been, always been of service, whether it be in church, be at home, or wherever I went, I always gave service because that's who my mom brought me up to be. And, obviously my mom was a big talker, as you can tell. I'm kind of a blabber blabber here. But the thing was, it was like, okay, how do you work this whole, I got issues with losing weight and working through the steps, because I never had gone through the steps. One, two, and three, I had down pat because that was all about God. So I knew God. But, my sponsor said, well, are you willing to, give up flour and sugar? And I said, yeah, right away. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, really? Can you do 30 minutes of prayer meditation? I was like, yeah. I mean, everything she asked me, I was like, yep. And she said to me, wow, you just say yes to anything and everything. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready. I was at that desperation point that they say we have to be at the bottom of the barrel, And on page 38 in the book, it says, we who have been through the ringer have to admit if we substituted food for jaywalking, the illustration would fit us exactly. And, that whole jaywalking thing, I was like, wow, that's pretty scary. But, food was, that's all I could think about. That's all I could talk about. That's all I could dream about. Like, every time I had a dream, it was about food. And, everything is good with chocolate on it, So that was always cool. And if you put whipped cream on it, that was even better. And man, when they came out with chocolate whipped cream, or was I in trouble? Because that was the thing. I made my daughter and I sat on the couch one day. We had a bad day. So I made brownies. So they're chocolate. We put Death by Chocolate ice cream on top of that. We put chocolate chips on top of that. And then we put this chocolate spray in the can on top of that. Man, we chowed down, but we were both sick after that. We was like, oh my God, we can't move. So yeah, needless to say, I even binge with my daughter, So, although she's always been thin, she didn't have my problem. She could stop after that. But let me see here. So even, okay, so it says on 42, they had said that though I did raise a defense, it would one day give way before some trivial reason for having a bite. Well, just that did happen and more. For what I had learned of compulsive overeating did not occur to me at all. I knew from the moment that I had a compulsive, crazy mind, I saw that this willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. I had never been able to understand people who said that a problem had them hopelessly defeated. Well, whoever thought we had a mental issue because we ate too much? That never even really computed, and I'm thinking, okay, we all got issues to some degree, maybe just some more than others, but I never tied the food with that mental twist going on. So that was a big deal. And, so it was just pretty crazy. And it didn't matter. Let me see, I have page It didn't matter how old I was or how young I was. You know, if I went through a certain amount of time and I was, you know, dieting and losing some weight, it wasn't long. It says, but here is a man who is at 55 years old, found he was just where he had left off at 30. We have seen the truth demonstrated again and again. Once a compulsive overeater, always a compulsive overeater. And that is so very true. And it's so funny because, you know, that we do this big book study because everybody on my father's side of the family, they were all drunks. They were all alcoholics. And even my sister to this day, she's a functioning alcoholic. And that is just so interesting to me. And my brother is a recovering alcoholic. He's been recovered for 4 years, and I'm so proud of him. Mind you, he's 68 years old now. So it took him his whole entire life because he was strung out in junior high, you know, and drinking and going through drugs and doing all kind of crazy weird things.
Julie,
So,
it's time.
time, I'm all done. Oh, well, I guess I got a pass then. But I thank you so much. And I really appreciate OA and the Big Book Study and all of my great fellow friends. I love when I get outreach calls and I love to give outreach calls. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Julie, for your time and your sharing. Really, really appreciate it. Just want to name that we did have a Zoom bomber on briefly. Thank you, everyone, for getting them out who contributed. And just want to name that is upsetting, but we're resilient and we'll go on. We'll now open the meeting for questions or for 3 minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and step being studied this week. We ask that you accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions or *9 if you're on the phone. We'll call the raised hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. For the timekeeper, please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when the time's up. And if the speaker is asked a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. All
Hey
right.
Jim, real quick. I'm not going to admit anybody. I'm messaging them. So anybody else with the ability to don't admit anybody. It seems like their Zoom bomber is coming. So thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, Rachel. Really appreciate you.
And also,
And
Jim, I'm having a little family situation, so I need to get off here soon if anybody could take over the timing.
okay. Do we have anyone who is willing or able to time? Roz, are you able to time?
I will. 3 minutes.
3 minutes for the share, and then if someone asks the question, Julie will have 3 minutes to respond.
Okay, I'll go get my timer. No
Thank
problem.
you so much. Okay, so
I'll do
Chanel.
the first timer. So.
Okay, great. Chanel, you're up first.
Great. Thanks so much, Jim. Thank you, everyone, for keeping the meeting safe. We so appreciate you. Julie, what a pro. You just kept going on as if nothing was going on. I'm so impressed.
I didn't know we had Obama.
Yeah,
I was so busy laughing.
yeah. Someone told me a long time ago, don't have gallery view on when you're speaking. So I don't either. I don't see it either when I'm speaking. But I just want to thank you. My name is Chanel T. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I get to live in recovery today, and that is purely by the grace of God. Julie, I've been with you part of your journey. I've gotten to hear you and see you on meetings and talk with you as a fellow, and I just enjoy you and all your purpleness. And I just wanted to say I really like how you wove your experience, strength, and hope into the chapter. That was nice. I enjoyed that. And also, Don't be afraid to share again because you've got quite a message. I loved hearing it. And my question for you, not to put you on the spot, but just with your 11th step, because you already have your faith tradition, but with your 11th step, what do you notice is evolving for you? That's all I have. Thank you.
Let's see. Well, I always know that God is with me to start with. And so when I started, for sure, I think because I was asked to physically or intentionally do a 30-minute prayer meditation that took it maybe above a notch because, or the next level, because I was intentionally doing it for other reasons. It's like the on awakening prayer that we do, you know. And by this point too, you know, that's when I knew that God was there for me regardless, and in spite of how teeny weeny my issue was. Of course, obviously for me it was a gigantic one, but for God it was teeny weeny. I just thank God every single day that He keeps me and carries me on this path that I can continue to live by His grace and His love and somewhat normalcy. Not that I'll ever be normal, but to be able to be in some kind of, you know, space that I was never in before. Like now I have this circle, you know, kind of like when you have your circle of friends, you know, and you can't let anybody in and you can't let anybody out. Well, he's in my circle and I can't let anybody in. Well, except for you fellows. So that's the answer I got for you.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks, Chanel. And Leslie G, you are up next.
Oh, that was fast. Okay. Hi, family. Leslie G. Gratefully recovering one day at a time by the good grace of God. Julie, that was wonderful. I don't know why you didn't text me. I mean, I always do this meeting, but you should have texted me and
That's
told
because
me.
I knew you were coming.
Oh, okay, sweetie. So this was really, really good. And it just reminded me, I loved in the big book, for alcoholics, more about alcoholism, that I would have a trivial reason to eat. And it's nothing short but insanity. And I'd pick up and be like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's truly a disease. And I've been finally able to stop beating myself up and be loving and kind and gentle because my higher power wants me to be that way. The progression of the disease, you know, the jaywalker. Thank God my disease when I was waitressing wasn't during COVID. I mean, every single time, you guys, I waitressed, people who left any amount of food, decent amount of food on their plate, I put that in a doggy bag and I took it home. You know, and I'm amazed that I'm like totally cool about saying that. I wasn't born a compulsive overeater. The progression, you know, when I first got angry at my parents, I wasn't allowed to have a voice. I had two bowls of cereal to the point of my bulimia. When I was bulimic, I would graze eat in front of the TV for 4 to 6 hours straight. That's tremendous. I can't even fathom that. And coming into these rooms, the bottom line was, I had let go of a relationship that was almost 10 years. And since the disease centers in the body, in the mind, sorry, rather than the body, page 23, I came crawling into these rooms. You know, I had been here for like that amount of time many, many years ago. And I was like, oh my God, these ladies are coffee clutch ladies. And, you know, there's nothing being talked about. And yeah, anyway, that's enough said. Thank you, hon. You were wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Ian, you are up next.
Hi, Ian. I have a compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here today. Very grateful to hear you, Julie. I was so excited when I saw that it was you, Sharon. You know, I took my notes in purple. It makes me so happy. Those little things that we can find joy in. That pain of why can't I be like other people? I totally get that. In fact, I actually almost feel like the longer I've been in the rooms, the more I've felt it. Because when I came in, like I was desperate out of my mind. Like I didn't care. I'm not like other people at all. Like F that. I'm gonna do exactly what my sponsor tells me, and I did. But then you work the steps, and you start to feel like things are stable again, and things are normal, and then maybe I am like other people, and if you don't stick around. You start to think maybe I should start running again. Maybe that's the one that hit me recently, and I knew, okay, I gotta call my sponsor and go to a meeting. And but that's the thing. It's like it's not that I've done program wrong. It's not about doing program wrong. It's just like that's who we are. I'm always going to be that way. I don't take step one once. I take it many,
Yeah.
many, many times, and that. A thing about like binging with your daughter. Like one of my favorite jokes that my parents will do when I go home to have dinner with them is they'll be like, "Oh man, I'm like you. I ate a whole pizza." I'm like, it's like my dad will eat something and it'll give him indigestion. He'll be like, "Oh man, I'm never eating that again. I have no idea what that's like." I would eat so bad I couldn't walk. That's how bad my indigestion was. And that's who I am. And I'm never not going to be that way, but also I never have to hurt myself with food again. And that's the beautiful thing about getting to be around these rooms. I get to see Julie and everyone else, grow as human beings, and I wouldn't trade that for the world. So I love you guys. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ian. And we will now stop the recording for unrecorded questions or shares.